if I could invite you to take your seats. It's great to see you. Hope you're well. My name's Matt. My privilege to speak to you for the next half an hour or so. If you've got a Bible, please could you turn to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Today, the title is Lord, Teach Us to Pray. Say, Lord, teach us to pray. That's it. Let's wake ourselves. Lord, teach us to pray. Say that again. And that is, if you get nothing out of this, why don't you regularly say, Lord, teach me to pray? Because he will. He wants to teach us to pray. I'm sure most of us feel that we're not very good at it. Just raise your hand really high if you think you're really good at prayer and the rest of us can throw stuff at them. All right? I don't think any of us feel that we've arrived. I mean, I've been a Christian since 1991. How long's that now? What's that? 33 years. And I really just feel I'm still in the shallows and learning to swim regarding prayer. And I'm sure that we all feel very similar. And today we're looking at what's called the Lord's Prayer. And it's a shortened version in Luke. In Matthew chapter 6, there's a longer version, and I encourage you to memorize it. Maybe memorize the version from Matthew chapter 6. Just raise your hand if you know the Lord's Prayer off by heart. Just write up. That's good. That's most of you. Good. We should all know the Lord's Prayer off by heart. And if you're not a Christian, memorize it. It's a great piece of literature, isn't it? It's like a foundation piece of literature for many, and it's well worth memorizing, even if you're not a Christian. But for Christians, this is something we should know this. We should know it off by heart. It should be in our hearts, and I encourage you to do that. So let's turn, I hope you've turned to Luke chapter 11. Let's read from Luke 11, 1 to 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Is this sounding a bit funny, this microphone? I'll leave it with you, Adam, just to give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. And then he gives us these two parables, which encourage us to persevere in prayer. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Great friend, eh? I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Second parable, or rather it just adds a little bit, then it gives us another parable. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. The next parable, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Just raise your hand if you're a father who does that. Do you do that? Give a scorpion? Have you got a little aquarium of scorpions that you can give to your children if they ask you for something? Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead, or a scorpion in other versions? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit? Or in Matthew, give good gifts to those who ask him. Let's pray. Jesus, would you teach us to pray? Jesus, would you teach us to pray? help us to learn the importance of this and help us to learn to do it. Help us move our hearts, Lord, and our wills. Move our wills so that they come into line with your will. Help me, Lord, to speak. Help us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, what did Nev speak about? Mary and Martha, and the point being that we are to listen to Jesus. And he wonderfully told of his own heart being feeling called to listen to Jesus and listen to him every day, making moments in the day of devotion to listen to him, but also through the day. And we listen to him in numbers of ways, don't we? But we listen to him principally in his word. As we read it, his Bible, and as we hear it taught, we hear him speak to us. His word is his voice. He speaks through his word. And he also speaks in other ways, but that principally is the way we hear his voice. And every day, we are to make that time. Rather than like Martha, we need to be like Martha. You know, we're going to be busy in our lives, but we must make time to sit and do the one thing that's necessary. There's lots of important things, there's lots of pressures on us, but the one thing that's necessary, he says, is to listen to me. Listen to me. Have we listened to Jesus? Have we become Christians? Have we listened to him that he loves us and that he died for us so that our sins can be taken onto him? He died for our sins. Have we listened to him about that? That's the one thing that's necessary. Have you heard the good news that Jesus has died for you? He offers you salvation. Have you heard? And are you rejoicing in that if you have heard? Are you filled with the joy of that salvation, that he's taken your sins away, completely taken away every regret, everything we've done wrong, every failure has gone, nailed on the cross? Have we heard that? And are we hearing him in his word every day? Or are we like Martha, rushing, 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 rushing? And we need to be purposeful in this. If we don't make that time, if we don't plan to make that time, we won't make that time. It doesn't happen by accident. Good things tend not to happen by accident. We have to make time for good things, important things, for our friends, our family, our health, and the good things in life, but also, most importantly, the one thing, Jesus Christ. And if we do choose to sit and listen to Jesus, like Mary, he will teach us about prayer. That's one of the major things. Maybe as Mary sat at his feet, maybe he brought this teaching to her. Maybe he said to her, when, not just her, but maybe others that were gathered there as well, when you pray, speak to your Father in heaven. Say, hallowed be your name, as we've just read. If we were to listen to Jesus, we would learn to pray, every one of us. And Jesus doesn't, you know, we don't need to, it's like a staircase. We don't need to see the whole staircase, we just need to take the first step. You can worry about the next step next. But take your first step in prayer. And as you are saying to Jesus, teach me, he will take you to the next step, and the next step, and the next step. But take that first step. Make some time tomorrow, this afternoon, whenever you choose. Make some time to sit at Jesus' feet and to listen to him and to speak to him in prayer. Because that's the balance, isn't it? We are to be like Mary, sitting at his feet. But we're also to be like Jesus, who speaks to the Father. And we read here about how Jesus set such a great example. He says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. See, they saw in Jesus this lifestyle of prayer. Jesus set them this example, and we see this example carried over into the New Testament church. And we see that the first church was devoted to many things, right? Devoted to prayer. What else were they devoted to? Meeting together. Breaking bread. Oh, by the way, so they were devoted to breaking bread. So you might have noticed we've been doing more breaking bread recently. That idea, devoted to breaking bread. That's why we're doing more of it, because we feel it's important to be devoted to it. Devoted to prayer. Devoted to breaking bread. Devoted to being together. Devoted to teaching. That's probably the other one, isn't it? Teaching. And that's like the Mary thing. Sitting, listening to teaching, to his word, to Jesus' teaching. And we want to be that kind of church that listens to Christ, remembers Christ and his death and resurrection through communion, and speaks to him in worship and prayer, as we're looking at today. And they saw this in the lifestyle of Jesus. Jesus himself was devoted to prayer. When people look at us, what do they see we're devoted to? What are we devoted to? I remember Nev showed me this app, this app which is a time tracker. And Nev loved these sort of apps. And it's a time tracker, and what you can do is you can time everything you do. So through a week, you can say, prayer, I'm doing prayer now. Eating, I'm eating now. And you have a number of things. So at the end of the week, this may sound like your worst nightmare, right? Because then you would know the truth. Be face to face with the truth of who I am. And then you'd have to deal with it. But, you know, I dread to think how long I take making coffee. Oh, I grind my beans. I put it in my little special maker. And, I think it's worth it. but if I was to look at my time, and we do lots of things, big chunks of things, don't we? Eating would be a big one, wouldn't it? And spending time with our friends, or spending time with our family, or working would be a big plank, wouldn't it? Yeah, working. I dread to think how much time you're actually working within your work. I don't know. But on YouTube, playing games. I don't know if that's you, but hey. But prayer. What would our time tracker say for prayer? Listening to God in his word, what would our time tracker say? What would speaking to God, what would our time tracker say? That's impossible to completely time these things, because we often just pray walking down the street, on the bus, on the tube. We talk to God all the time. It's not, but particular devotions. Do we spend time, as Jesus said, go into your room, close the door, and your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Yes, reward you. In other words, he hears your prayers and there'll be reward in it. I wonder if people were to look at our lives, what we are devoted to. Are we like Christ? And are we devoted to prayer? Because if we are disciples of Jesus, that means to be becoming like him. And that means prayer. It's a big, big aspect of it. You'll see that he, for example, when he appointed the 12 apostles, he prayed all night before doing so. Such was his seriousness. He wanted to form this church and these first church leaders who were going to write the Bible. He prayed all night for them. He didn't just appoint people. And I wonder how that, our lives and the decisions we need to make, are we praying about things? Are we devoted to prayer as we see Jesus is? His disciples asked him, teach us to pray, Lord. They saw something in his life, and they saw something in his, maybe in his manner, maybe certainly in the success that he saw in ministry. They saw that there was a link between success, true success, and prayer. true investment in things will bring about a result. If we want to be good in our jobs, we will invest in training. We will invest in the right things to be able to fulfill our jobs and grow in our jobs. We know that we need to invest in things for them to develop. We had a marriage evening on Friday, and one of the things, and it was great to see many of you there on Zoom, that was. We decided to come together on Zoom so you could get away and chat. But what you were doing was investing in it, because where you invest, there's growth. And it's certainly true of every friendship, friendships, marriages, parenting. Everything we choose to purposefully invest in will develop well. Everything we neglect will go to weeds and to decline. And this is certainly true in our relationship with Jesus Christ. If we want to feel close to God, and if we want to be successful in ministry, and I'm using the word success in the way that God and His Word would define success, I'm not going to go into it, but if we want to be successful in ministry, then prayer, they saw this in Christ, so they say to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, teach me to pray, so that I can be successful in serving You and knowing You. There is a story about some first converts in a certain place in the continent of Africa. And when they would pray, this tribe, they would leave the village and they would go through the fields and find a place in the forest to pray. Their prayer room, as it were, in the forest. So what would happen is, as these men and women would go out to pray, over time, there would be a path through the bush into the forest where they would go to spend time with the Father. And as should be the case, we're broken in many ways, our culture. We're not very good at supporting each other and so on. But they, as a village, when they would see that somebody's path was grass was growing on the path, would reveal that they were no longer going as regularly along their path to pray. And they would say, brother, sister, there is grass growing on your path. I wonder if there is grass growing on our path. I wonder how our path is to our place of prayer. Is it well trod? Is it clear? Do we have a path that we take every day to spend time with the Father as Jesus teaches us? It says about Jesus in Luke 5, we saw this earlier in our series. Yet news about Him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear Him. This is a bit like going on, going viral on the internet nowadays, isn't it? Jesus was like a celebrity, okay? Crowds followed Him. And you know what that can lead to? It can lead to an obsession with being online, if it's online. It can lead to an obsession to creating more and more posts and to being more and more extreme, and to wanting to try and raise your profile more and more. Any success can cause us to want to get more and more success. But Jesus, it says here, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. You see, Jesus. This is what Terry Virgo wrote in The Spirit-Filled Church. Jesus gave impressive priority to prayer, both as an example in His own life and also in His teaching. His disciples, observing His personal prayer commitment and phenomenal success in life and ministry, asked Him to teach them to pray. They undoubtedly learned the lesson, so that in the book of Acts, it is very evident that the early believers demonstrated their dependence on God in corporate prayer. And why prioritize prayer? Why bother? Why bother coming to the prayer meeting when you've got more important things to do? Why bother getting up that bit earlier as Nev encouraged you? Why bother getting up that bit earlier? Which is a challenge, isn't it? Why bother when you've got more important things to do? Obviously, you haven't got more important things to do, but, you know, why don't we do it? Why? It's about faith. It's about believing that prayer actually is important. And more deeply, it's believing in God Himself. Prayer may reveal that you don't actually believe in God. Lack of prayer may reveal that your faith isn't real. Is your faith real? Is your faith a habit, a tradition, a way of speaking? This is the way I speak about myself. Is your faith real? If it's real, we will talk to God and we will listen to God. Amen. This is what Jesus says. I read it earlier, but do we believe this? When you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. We often at Connection Point talk about putting the rocks in the bucket. I should have brought the illustration with me. But if you know this illustration, it's about putting the big things in your life first. And there are probably 5 or 6 big things in your life. There's probably a number of big rocks that you want to make sure you're focusing on. But one of them is definitely time with God in devotions. It's a rock. It's a big thing. It takes time. It's going to take away from other things you could do. It's the time you could have used for other things that you are taking and you're putting into your life. And you are clearing your diary. You're saying, time with God. Is he not worthy? You know, come on. We give time to so many people. Is he not most worthy? Does he not promise, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well? Does he not promise? Is he not worthy of that? He's that rock. Put it into your life first, and you find in the illustration, if you've got a jam jar, if you put all the sand in first and try to put the rock on top, it doesn't fit. But if you put the rock in first, the sand fits with it, if that makes sense. Put the rock in first. And there are other things in our lives as well. Now, serving God, devotional life is important. There are other things that are important as well. But this is the one thing that he says to Martha, to Mary and Martha. Listening to God, but also speaking to God, and he will reward you. Put that rock in your bucket. Do it by faith. Do it by faith. Grasp Jesus's promises here and do it by faith. And I'm speaking to myself here. I hope you understand. My time tracker would not be as great as I would like. And I'm sure there is grass growing on my path as well. So this is helpful for me. I hope it's encouraging to you. And the lesson that I am teaching today as I've been going through this is what it says up there. Jesus wants to teach us to pray using the structure that he gives, the Lord's Prayer, that over time will become natural to us. See, when Jesus said, when the disciple says, Lord, teach us to pray, he didn't just say, well, you know, speak to God like you would to a friend, just, you know, talk to him about stuff. He doesn't do that. He says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, forgive us our debts or trespasses or sins, as we also forgive others. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. And some manuscripts, for yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So you see that he gives you a structure. And structure is good. It's good to have structures that you then recite and learn and use. And then those structures, over time, become part of us and become more natural to us. So this structure, and I haven't got at all got time because I'm just going to be able to really touch on the first idea. This structure really contains in our text today five main ideas that are going to come up behind me in the Lord's Prayer. If the next slide could come up, that'd be great. Thank you. So we have here, don't we? We have, it begins with praise, moves on to petitions, then moves on to peacemaking, asking for forgiveness, giving forgiveness, protection. And finally, he encourages us through those two parables and the ask, seek, knock to persevere. And it will be in the devotions this week if you want to look more deeply into this. And you can find the devotions in the church news or go onto the website or Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You name it, it's everywhere. But go onto our website, click on the teaching option, go into devotions or blog, and you'll find the devotions there this week, because I'm not going to be able to cover anywhere near like as much as I would want. But we're going to touch really on the first one, praise. He begins with praise. Praise and worship. Our Father in Matthew it says in heaven. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's about praise. It's about worship. If you ever go down into Kent or Sussex or into the countryside, you'll often see, won't you, hot air balloons going across the countryside. Do you ever see those? Have you ever done a hot air balloon ride, any of you? Yes? Did you enjoy it? When you landed, did you go along the ground, did you? Come down with a bump. But you know you have to fill the jolly thing with hot air first, don't you? I did think about bringing in, I've got a little carrot, little burner thing at home that last night we used for cooking marshmallows on, which is very nice actually. But I thought about bringing it in with a bag and filling it with hot air, but I just imagined how that could go very wrong, couldn't it? A plastic bag over a flame, rising into the air, on fire. You wouldn't forget it, would you? But it speaks of prayer, doesn't it, right? In a good way. We need to be filled. We need to rise. Sometimes we try to pray or come to God in prayer and we're cold. We're just not there yet. That's why he encourages us. Lift up your eyes to see the King. Lift up your eyes to see who God is. Be stirred with who he is personally and together. We did it this morning, didn't we? We sing about Christ. Now he uses this idea, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And that's wonderful. But you can worship God out of any text of Scripture. You can ask the question, what does this say about God? And then worship God out of it. Or in your prayer times, you can say, Lord, I want to worship you. Pick a psalm, pick a section of Scripture, and praise him out of it. Declare, say, "This, Lord, I praise you that. Lord, I thank you that." For example, last week we looked at Mary and Martha, didn't we? And it says that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened to him, and Jesus said to Martha, she has chosen what's best. Few things are needed, only one thing is actually necessary, and she's chosen what's best, and it won't be taken from her. Well, for example, if you use that, as I've tried to do this week, to praise God, you would say, what does this say about God? Well, I thank you, Lord, that you want me to be near to you. Do you see that in that text? Thank you, Lord. You want me to be near to you. I thank you, Jesus, that you want to teach me. I thank you, Lord, that you love it when I come into your presence and sit at your feet. Thank you that you want me here. Thank you that you are here with me to meet me and to teach me and to help me. Do you see? A simple verse of scripture that if you turn into worship will stir your heart and lift you like that hot air balloon into the air so you can then pray for things with greater faith because you know who God is in a fresh way. So begin with praise. Begin with praise. Do we do that? Do we begin with praise? In our community groups, do we praise God together regularly? In our prayer meetings, do we praise? In our Sundays, do we praise God? If you do praise, is your heart engaged? Are we praising God, focusing on Him? Can sometimes be tricky, can't it? Particularly when you've got small children running around. Do the best you can. In fact, let me encourage you as a parent as well. Are you teaching your children to praise? As best you can. It's great we've got children's work downstairs. But like Christ, they saw in Christ an example to follow. As parents, do they see in us, as best we can, an example to follow of praising God? Do they see that in us? Maybe you could ask the children's workers, what songs do you use in your down in Promised Land? And then maybe get them on a little list. And with your children at home, maybe you could sing one song every day. Perhaps you could do that at a time that works. And if you say, well, they just won't do it, work at it. With gentleness and kindness and joy, work at it. Make it a habit. Make it a practice. Don't get all stressed about it. Do your best you can to set them an example. Do we praise? Are we a community of praise? Let me ask you a question. Can you call God your Father? This idea of Father, the word pater in Greek, Abba in Aramaic, it's the everyday name for Father. It's both respectful and intimate. It's both respectful and intimate. Father. And it's interesting, isn't it, that God, that Jesus calls, and you see through Scripture that Jesus calls God every occasion except on the cross, when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Every occasion he calls God Father. Let me encourage you. When you pray, God is a generic term. And I'm not at all telling you off if you use the term God, but you can do better. You can call him Father. Because Father isn't a generic name for God. Father means you're adopted into his family. You're talking to somebody who has chosen you. Father's rich. Father is about covenant. Father is about intimacy. Father is about kindness. Father is about authority as well and submission. Father is a wonderful term. And that's how Jesus teaches us to pray. Our Father. Pray. Begin with praise. Talk to him as Father. And you can, of course, talk to him as Jesus, which means God saves. And of course, you can talk to him as Holy Spirit, because the Trinity. Talk to God as he reveals himself. Do try, because Jesus says this in Matthew. Don't be like those who don't know God and babble, because you think you'll be heard because of your many words. Let's be mindful and sometimes slow down. Because we're in a tradition, I think, what we call charismatic churches, where we call ourselves Reformed Charismatic. That may mean nothing to you. But there's a sort of tradition behind us that says, the more you... That somehow is the most spiritual way of being. Right? If you can be like a machine gun in your words, you somehow are really praying. I'm not, sometimes you do, you know, there's a place for that. But I encourage you, when personally you pray, or when you're with the church, you know, like when you're in a church, you know, a prayer meeting, and people say, let's just pray out to God and worship him. I encourage you, this is what I try to do. I just stop. Rather than go, Lord, I thank you that you are so good, and you are so good to me. I thank you that you died on the cross for me, you love me, and you're wonderful, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah, and then maybe go into tongues or something. Try and think like, Lord, Father, oh, I praise you. Thank you for your love. Go slow and thoughtful. Talk to God like he's actually here and like he is a person. Like he is like your friend, not just a, you know, I'm not saying there is a place when we get stirred passionately, but try to be thoughtful. Praise God with how he has revealed himself. Pray with the understanding engaged. Jesus sets us a great example. We're going to end there, and we're actually going to go into praise now. We're going to go back into worship and praising our God. And this week in our devotions, I'm going to be touching on each of these elements: praise, petitions, that's asking for things because he's our Father, peacemaking, that's about asking for forgiveness and giving forgiveness, protection, asking for protection every day, putting on the full armor of God every day, asking him to protect us. And finally, persevering in doing so. And I'm going to be touching on all those elements this week. But if you get nothing else out of today, let's make sure we praise God. Fill that hot air balloon. Let's make sure we've got that path going out to pray and that we are praising God every day. Let's stand together. Lord, we praise you and thank you that you want us to know you. Thank you, Lord. Do you know what we're going to do now? We're just going to put this into practice. Take it slow. Maybe think of a scripture. Just take a moment now. Think of a... Now, this may not be relevant to all of you. You may not be Christian this morning. You may not... So, you know, be patient with yourself and be patient with me, but... If you're a Christian this morning, think of your best Bible verse that speaks about God. Just do that now. Think about it. Just bring it to mind. And now begin, as the band play a little louder so that we give some confidence, begin to praise God out of it. I praise you that. I praise you that from that Bible verse. And when your mind starts to daydream off, come back. Go back to the verse and start praising him again. Does that make sense? Let's start doing that now. Talk to God. Let's not rush on. We'll sing in a minute, but come on, let's raise our voices.